Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, how do you like your beef? Serve cold and cut.
Really beautiful. Nice.
A beautiful new jingle for the show. I loved it. Really good. And this is a fun one today. Have the brilliant Ruth Husko, Ruth Huskisson, aka Dank Aykroyd, on the show. If you don't already follow her on at least one of your social media platforms, then you really, really should. She's just brilliant. She's absolutely fantastic.
Very funny.
Before we get to chatting to Ruth, if you'd like to send a beef in, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, the hotline number.
Whoa.
Get your pen and paper ready. Is 0208-123-3272.
And please ask the bill payer for permission before you call the hotline.
Absolutely right.
And there's a world exclusive in today's episode. We have the first ever hotline beef. So the hotline does work.
Yeah.
It's working well.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm really happy with the way it's gone. It's great. In fact, actually, maybe in the outro, we've got a little bit more of a treat from the hotline. Well, I'm not saying anything. Just wait and see. Also as well, if you're going to be at the Latitude Festival this weekend, we are also going to be there. We're going to be doing our show on Saturday night at the Listening Post. And our guests are going to be the brilliant Ray Badron and the wonderful Laura Smith. Two fantastic guests. We've never had them on the podcast before. We're really excited about seeing them. And festival recordings for the podcast, they can go one of two ways. And we've had some great times at Latitude because Pappy's fans have flocked to come and see us. So if you're going to be there Saturday night at the Listening Post, that's where we're going to be. I think it's 8 p.m.
Yeah,
but
we will
stick it on the we'll stick it on the socials and everything. Before
they can go
we,
one of two ways: absolutely brilliant, or that time we did it at Green Man.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. It's a long way to go to die on your ass for 90 minutes, isn't it?
In the gold of the
But Latitude is fun. Yeah, Latitude's always fun. Yeah, we'd love to see you there. And do come up and say hello. We'd love to see, you know, if you're a listener, do come up and say hello. If you see us bowling around the site, that'd be lovely to see you.
Bowling is the absolute word.
Bowling around the site.
Can't wait to have a good old bowl around Latitude.
Great. Very exciting. We're delighted to be back. And we're absolutely delighted to have our wonderful guest, Ruth Huskisson. So please welcome her by standing up, charging your glasses, and listening to this episode of Pat Meets Flatshare,
Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. How do you like your beef? Cold and cut.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold cuts.
Oh, by the way, what do you want to be called on this? Is
Tom?
Ruth all right? I mean, yeah, Tom, Ben, Ruth. Is Ruth okay?
Yeah, Ruth's perfect. That's my name.
It's your name, isn't it?
That's good, yeah. That is good.
It's your name.
Can I call you my gorgeous, healthy boys?
Of course you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Great. Now, the only reason is because, obviously, I think of you as Husko. I think, you know, that's because that's how I was introduced to you as Husko. Or as Dank Aykroyd. But
any of those are fine, but you can go Ruth or Husko. I think because Dank Aykroyd is confusing, but it's such a good name. I don't want to get rid of it. Yeah.
Do people ever call you Dank? Do people ever go, are you Dank?
On Twitter they do, or they'll say, they've gone up to people and say, oh, you know Dank Aykroyd, don't you? Yeah, so I wish it was my name, because it's so good.
Do you feel like there's a situation where you might go to the deed poll and do it for realsies?
I think I'd keep my surname because surname's really good. Huskisson's a great surname.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just become Dank Huskisson.
Ruth's all right as well, though, isn't it? Ruth's fine, like I'd say.
Ruth's fine, but let me tell you this.
What a compliment early doors from Parry. You know, he doesn't just say this to all our guests. Your name is fine.
It is. We're so, you know, coming from someone else with a fine name. Like, no one's going, oh, what have you called her? Ruth. Oh, beautiful. Like, everyone's going, oh, no, oh, fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing about the name Ruth.
I told you, you made it much better, actually. Yeah, you did.
maybe explain less in the future.
No, I agree. I agree with you, Tom. Like, but what I say about the name Ruth is, right, I didn't really think much about it until I saw an episode of Fraser where he's getting a bodyguard and she turns out to be a female and her name's like Shelley or something. And he was like, I didn't expect a Shelley. I expected, like, I don't know, a Chris or a Ruth. Like, it was right. A really butch name.
Wow,
and I don't think
okay.
Yeah. What about
Fraser,
that?
Fraser, you absolute hound. Fraser. That's a bad... I'm not as bad as Fraser in this. I said Ruth was fine.
Fine. I mean, what Fraser said, you can't say that anymore, can you? You can't make these. And the world's poorer for it.
You can quote him, but you can't be said to have that as an original thought. That's not...
In these days, he'd be locked up, wouldn't he? Be in woke prison for that.
In woke prison, yeah.
He'd be cancelled. Who are the other famous Ruths? I mean, Ruth Madoc. Ruth Madoc is the first one that pops into my head from Heidi High, of course.
Oh.
Sadly missed.
Ruth Shearsmith, the inside number 9.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Ruth Shearsmith. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I'm just typing Ruth into Google here to see which names are popping up.
Always the start of a good night if you're doing
always
that.
Always a good start if you're typing the word Ruth into Google. Normally when I've got the house to myself, I'm normally typing Ruth into Google. Ruth Madoff, Bernie Madoff's wife, of course. We all remember her. Listen, there's plenty of good Ruths. I don't think it's necessarily a butch name. We'll call you Ruth. I think we've got off to a flying start there. We'll call you Ruth. And Ruth, now that you're here, I've got to ask you, Ruth.
Don't keep saying it, no.
Why not? Listen, the thing about Ruth is it's a... You know, like the phrase, that's my name, don't wear it out. It can't be worn out. That's how hardy the name Ruth is.
True.
And Kelsey Grammer will back me up on that.
Absolutely. Sturdy, beefy.
Sturdy, beefy. Like Chris with a K. So listen, I know, because you told me this before we started the recording, you don't currently live with anybody, but... You must have been in flat shares in the past. What kind of a person are you to live with?
Mm. I would say I am a very reliable flatmate. So I'm not very exciting. You won't find me... I don't really like doing that thing of like hanging out in the kitchen, cooking together, like making small talk, or like having like a big late night party. I don't really do stuff like that. But we'll never run out of fabric conditioner. We'll always have kitchen towel in. I am reliable with those sorts of things. Also, I'm a real morning person, which can be grating for some people. I like to get up early. I like to run around. There's a lot of messing around, a lot of jumping around, singing, dancing. I never get up in a bad mood.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've spent a few months. You've met me a few times over the few months. I think you can find the energy that I bring to an event translates well to the morning, even though every time we've met, it's been night and I've been shit-faced.
quite a nighttime person as well, from my experience.
I'm an all-dayer, and sometimes the nights have gone into the morning. Yeah, I'm energy.
In terms of your morning soundtrack, in terms of like singing around the place and dancing, have you got any kind of go-to, like, in terms of your morning soundtracks, what songs recur in the mornings for you?
It can be anything really. I usually put 6 music on, but there might just be like a Tom Jones, six bomb. Right. And if I've got something to do that day, like, I don't know, like, I stayed in a spa the other day and there was some guys playing golf on the green and I sang, playing golf, guys playing golf. You know what I mean? You find the event and you just work it into the melody.
That song's suitable for any event I've always done. Rest in peace. Nan, rest in peace. It's
like, yeah.
It's just adapts to any situation.
That's a different kind of morning person, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah. That I just make a song out of anything, really. Yeah, or like
chipper in the mornings, stocking up the kitchen, and yet doesn't want to do communal chat. It sounds ideal.
I was, I was going to say, like, I am very respectful of other people's space as well. I'm very considerate of other people, not wanting to sort of bother them and stuff.
You'll reduce your volume on Sex Bomb as you get closer to
I can't get my head around this at all. Are you wearing headphones? I can't understand that you're running into rooms singing at someone and that is respectful to their space.
I'm
and also, you're like, whoa, 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 don't talk to me. I'm singing at you. This is a one-way street.
I didn't run into their rooms, but if they're up and I'm up, and they might get out of bed at 10. I've been up since 3, and I'm just, you know, running around and
bombing around the place.
Because that's the other thing, I don't sleep very well, so sometimes I can't wait to get up and see what's going on. So I'll be, you know, respectful in the morning. That's why. Why do you think I live on my bloody own? Do you know what I mean? You're saying so I can run around to my heart's content. But generally, I am respectful and I'm very reliable and I'm lots of fun. And goodness me, if I haven't just described the perfect flatmate, which is me.
Yeah,
I really have. Yeah,
so I've got to, ask.
Are you looking?
Yeah, I've got to ask the question.
Someone?
Yeah,
do you need to rent out that spare room?
Definitely not. I love living on my own. Some people don't like it, but I couldn't imagine anything worse. I can't imagine living with someone now. Lived on my own so long. So, I mean, you all live with people, don't you? You're all looking at me. Yeah.
No. That's it's interesting to meet someone from the other side of the fence. You know, it's nice to see that is. Somebody's attitude. I mean, there must be plenty of people out there who love living on their own. I mean, Freddie Mercury famously hated it. He wrote a song about how much he hated it.
Wasn't that song about a guy living with a monkey?
Are we still talking about Sex Bomb?
Did he live with a monkey in there?
I thought
no time for no monkey business.
Right. Yeah. He's got no time for monkey business. So you think he's living with a monkey?
He's struggling.
The monkey's sort of playing up, sending fax all the way through the night, that kind of stuff.
And, well, mostly throwing shit against the wall as well.
That's real monkey business, yeah. But what is it you love so much about living on your own then?
You don't have to... If you want to be on your own, you can be. If you're living with someone and you just kind of want a bit of your own space, you've always got someone there and you're always mindful of when they're going to come back, you know, if they go to work, when they come back. And I just like to have more room for activities, lots of space to run around and, you know.
The appeal is tremendous. I mean, when you put something down and you know it's going to be there when you come back.
Right.
That's it. End of. Case closed.
And that's your decision to leave something there. You're like, that's fine where it is.
No one's going to ask you why you left it there.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
It's because I want it there, actually.
Yeah.
There's a reason I left it there.
If it's been moved, it's because the monkey moved it. That's the reason.
No time for this monkey business. I'm sold. I think you're living the dream.
I think so. I love it. I think it's great.
Are you ever tempted to go full big? Like, if I lived on my own, I'd go full, I'd have pinball machine and, you know, lots of
trampoline
floor space. Yeah.
You'd be rich. It's basically what's happening.
I'd have a good job, I'd have a pen. A sort of a huge New York apartment. If you end up living on your own, you would be the first scene of Big when he arrives in New York and he's in that motel where people are getting murdered next door and he's crying. Except it won't even be New York, it'll be Exeter.
Plymouth.
From the sorting out your beef.
Free range beef, a fair beef from Ethan via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, use email. I will find it. Dear Pappy Peeps and esteemed guest Ruth, the single most unsubtle affair has started in my office. The morals of this I couldn't care less about. They're both adults, although one has been a card-carrying adult for about a decade longer than the other. And I certainly know the male party...
What I like about this is there's no judgment in the message at all. No judgment.
I'm just going to say this. Just going to put this one little tidbit in.
Bit of colour, bit of decoration for you. No judgment, but plenty of detail.
A bit of decoration.
Okay. And I certainly know the male party involved has been in a loveless and doomed relationship for several years now, held together, however misguidedly, for the sake of their kid. Well, I'm glad we've got off to a flyer on this comedy podcast.
Fucking hell.
It's got heavy pretty soon, hasn't it?
What I and the rest of my colleagues are sickened by, however, is watching the terrible amateur dramatic performances sickened. Every single day as they either pretend not to have come in together or the cack-handed way they try and hand over front door keys without arousing suspicion.
Oh, man.
We're also not supposed to question why she has suddenly started bringing lunch in for him every day, including several meals ahead of time, if he's going to be working from home. But what is most unsettling for many of us...
Can we put a pause in this for 1 second? Just very, very quickly.
Please.
Now,
please.
I've... Yeah, just for a bit of... Just as a sorbet to clear the palate.
Just some respite.
I've never had... An affair.
Right.
I've never had an affair.
Sounds please like the it. Kind of thing someone having an affair with.
It really does. It
so
really does.
But I can see you palming that key off to Tom, by the way.
Palming off that Parmesan I've made for you.
Is part of having an affair preparing packed lunches for each other?
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this detail before.
I've never wanted an affair more in my life. I was very happy up until now, but
now you say that though, what's in the packed lunches? Is it a dildo?
Is it a dildo?
Is it saucy?
We're all
snaps?
Thinking it. That's a very long lunchbox.
Yeah.
What's in that baguette?
That's not a
Subway. You could fit a dildo in a thermos, absolutely. You definitely could.
I'm just thinking sexy. That's the first thing. I just think, oh, they're shagging, aren't they? So is it just full of condoms? And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing.
A Tupperware full of Johnnies.
Yeah.
Flask full of lube. Especially when he's working from home, that's throwing me, because surely the biggest way to arouse suspicion is if you go back to your wife and family with 3 days' worth of lunches that someone's made up for you.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And one of them's a massive diller. Like one of them's like one of them's an 8-inch double ender in a BAP.
Why is your lunch
like,
vibrating
oh,
so much?
I'm getting some kind of new diet or something.
You don't want to come downstairs and find your 10-year-old chewing on a dildo thinking it's a yo-yo. You know? Thinking it's one of those mango
that's
yo-yos.
That's the last thing you want, actually.
It's the last
that
thing you
the
want.
Last
they're going,
thing,
oh,
yeah.
A bit chewier than the last one you bought me. You know, gnawing away at the end of it. That's the last thing you want in your life.
It is the last thing.
Anyway, sorry, Tom, carry on with the message.
I mean, it's going to get worse, apparently. But what is most unsettling for many of us is catching them pretending they haven't snuck off for a snog.
Ooh.
The number of times people have been to the stock room and found them pretending to search random shelves despite having no reason to ever go in there.
Oh, here's my dildo.
It was up your ass.
Where is that dildo I photocopied?
Where is that massive dinner?
How do we collectively signal we know you're shit at hiding things, just get on with it, without confronting them, as I'm sure he would be absolutely mortified? Yours, feeling like a youth club worker on disco night acting as fingering police. Ethan.
Oh, dear.
There's no need for that, Ethan. Ethan, you've
There's
let yourself down.
There's no need for any of this, Ethan.
Ruth, you've got a proper job that you occasionally go into an office for, right? Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah.
Are you having an affair with a man 10 years older than you that you're giving back lunches to?
Well, I'd have a bloody job on, because there's only about 3 people in the office left now. They made loads of people redundant. Sorry to bring it down, but
they had half of the... Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bizarrely, that brought it up.
But I mean, I'm guessing like most offices, they've probably got, you know, we have cameras in our office to see people going in and out, and I'm sure you can see them making it go in and out in the stock room or whatever they're doing. So, I'm guessing like their managers haven't raised it or said anything, or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds like they haven't.
Doesn't sound like it's affecting their work apart from them going to the stock room to pretend to look for things.
If anything, it's probably raising their morale slightly. They're probably coming into work early.
Yeah.
They're probably working longer hours. Because, you know, the thing is, if you do end up having, you know, having an affair at work and doing a longer shift, you're going to have to do a little bit of extra work to cover for that staying late, aren't you? So it's probably, they're probably putting in a few extra hours and not even sort of charging for it.
Yeah, so I guess their manager wouldn't want to bring it up because they want to have free time.
This is it. I think, actually, if you want to get a productive workplace, you've got to set them all off against each other. You've got to get them all, you know, shaggy. You want to be sprinkling that sort of magic fairy dust like in Midsummer Night's Dream over all of your workers, and then they all sort of fall in love. And
isn't that the Christmas office party?
Yeah, this is why they do it, isn't it? This is why they have award ceremonies and Christmas office parties. It's not because they want to reward the workers. It's because they want them to, you know, to do each other up against a photocopier.
Several meals ahead of time if he's going to be working from home.
That's the deal.
It's a real sticking point, that, isn't it? It's so bizarre.
Yeah, why are they making him meals? Because if he's working from home, the food's there. That's why I don't think that it's food. I think unless it's the lady making it for the man, so she's trying to show what a good and attentive wife she is, so he leaves his wife. Sorry to be traditional about it, guys, but maybe that's what she's doing. I'm just exploring all areas. Don't shoot the messenger.
I think there might be something in that. Do you think she's sort of saying that this is, you know, it's like, I am the steak. You've got burger at home. That's kind of what
I was going to say. Is it all burgers? Like, is she literally giving him burgers?
So he would go out for burgers?
Yeah. I don't know.
Not the sexiest food.
Might be erotic cakes. You know, the erotic cakes, cake shaped into a pair of tits. It might be something like that.
Oh, you know the erotic cakes.
You know the erotic cakes. We've all seen them.
Are you thinking of fondant fancies?
No, I'm sure there's a joke in The Simpsons about the erotic cake shop. Anyway.
There is something a bit erotic about fondant fancies.
Yeah.
They're the sexiest cake, I think.
Oh, come on. What about eclairs?
I was thinking
French,
eclairs.
Yeah, like
well.
The French fancies over eclairs, I think.
I don't know. I'd fuck an eclair.
You're talking about the little sort of square ones with a little nubbin on the top. Is that the one you're talking about, Tom? I know what you mean. I do know what you mean.
I mean, you just use the word nubbin.
I use the word nubbin, yeah.
If I put a couple of French fancies in front of you and started rubbing each nubbin, you're telling me you're not going to be thinking, I'm in the mood for cake.
I wouldn't eat any of them, I'll say that.
No, I tell you what.
I've got complaints about this waiter.
He's too damn hot.
They're kind of frilly and they are literally the equivalent of like a French maid outfit, aren't they? That's what they are. They're like, they're frilly and fancy and
they're saucy in a retro way, which gets you right where it's pure, isn't it, Tom?
I sent you that postcard in confidence.
It was a postcard. You can't send a postcard in confidence. You're stuck in an envelope. My buddy postman knows what you're up to now. I sent you that postcard.
What cake are you most attracted to?
The Battenberg, because
Hello. Now we're talking. Very, very 2023.
Very colourful. Very soft, quite a funny looking cake. So yeah, that's the one. What's the funniest cake? That's the one I'm most attracted to.
Battenberg's pretty close. It's got a lot of personality,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah,
Battenberg?
It kind of looks like, a little bit like a, like if you cut a clown in half.
That's it. That's what they look like. That's the sexiest one for me.
I was with you until Clarky just accurately described it as cutting a clown in half, and then it felt quite sad again. Has someone got to inform this clown's family?
I get the feeling that if you chopped a clown in half, just like two clowns would be running around. It'd be a bit like Sorcerer's Apprentice out of Fantasia. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like if you sliced a clown in half, I reckon they'd look down, look a bit weird, and then two legs would pop out of the torso and a torso would pop out of the legs.
Yeah, yeah. And do try that at home, guys.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got a clown in your family, do give it a go.
Anyway, I'd stick my dick in a fondant fancy.
So, of course you would. Of course you would, Tom. And you know what? It would fit. Clark, and I will stick with the eclairs if that's all right with you. But you sure you don't want a nice gem?
I don't know what Ethan's beef is, because all of this to me feels like entertainment. Yeah. I feel like
This is good goss.
They say they're sickened by the amateur dramatic performances and that they're unsettled by them pretending that they haven't snuck off for a snog. For me, I think that's all things to play with, isn't it? It's like you've got entertainment going on in your office. There's not much else to be going on with. So it feels like surely you'd welcome that and be able to play with it a little bit by asking them questions to make them lie further.
That's what I was going to say. I'd say if you're unpleased with the performances, you've got to ratchet up the pressure on them because you could start acting suspicious. Back them into a corner, see if they get better at it.
Absolutely.
You know, you're ignoring the whole thing. You're turning a blind eye. Switch the eyes on.
If they're being Amdram, because as we know, acting is reacting. If they're being Amdram, you've got to come in there with... Tom, I've never seen such a real performance from you in my entire life.
What did you just say? Cool. I've never heard anything in all my ears. Go on.
You've never heard anything in all your ears?
I really like that. I've never heard anything in all my ears.
It's a hell of a phrase.
So what we're saying, Ethan, we're saying adopt the role of a confused old man like Parry just did for you there. And you go, whoa, what's going on in this store cupboard? That's kind of what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
If they're going Amdram, you've got to give them proper full-on Victor Meldrew, apparently. Britain's greatest actor.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That makes it a lot of fun for you, a lot of fun. And a lot of fun for the person doing it and a lot of fun to see their reactions as well.
Absolutely.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Ruth, because hearing this, it makes me slightly jealous I don't have a proper job. Because I love the idea of being...
I think it's a bit on the side then.
Listen, every day I go round the back of a patisserie Valerie, they pop a fondant fancy out there, and I let out my frustrations on that, and I go home very happy. It makes me jealous I don't have a proper job, because you're getting, like, this is the thing that people, they watch Love Island for this kind of caper. You're getting this... You're getting a live show of this every single day that you get to, you know, like you've got to take a bit of enjoyment. You've got to find the fun in it. You've got to take a bit of enjoyment in it. People are being saucy just through a partition wall. You've got to enjoy that. Lean into it.
Don't lean in too close.
Lean against that partition wall.
Get up against it with a glass.
I was going to say, yeah, it makes work exciting. It gives you all something to talk about. I've worked at many places where there's people going into someone's office and whispering. I love going past. So I remember a couple of people at my work. The guy was like sitting at a desk and the girl was like kneeling down, just whispering to him. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're having an affair. And then every time I'd see her go in his office, I'd think, oh, you know, it just gives you a bit of.
It gives you a little buzz.
Yeah.
A bit of a frisson.
Did you ever find out what they were really up to?
I think they were having an affair because we went on a work night out and he was saying he had a girlfriend and he was like, oh, I've been in. She had a fiance. And he was like, I've been in. I heard him saying to another guy, oh, God, you don't know what it's like to be in love with someone your whole life, or like your whole working life here, just sitting across from you. And I was like, I mean, you weren't talking about me. That's for goddamn sure.
I was like, and then you appear with a rose between your teeth.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is absolutely fantastic. Like, yeah, love it so much. And it's good when it's like you can judge someone else. Like, that's great. You can just judge them, and it's brilliant, and it's fun, and it's a laugh. And you're with impunity. You're doing nothing wrong. They're doing wrong stuff right in front of you. Enjoy,
I like that,
guys.
Because if you're called in at the end of year review, and it's like, look, you're missing your targets. Your sales are down. You could be like, but I'm not shagging in the store cupboard, am I?
Maybe I'd hit my targets if there wasn't jizz everywhere.
Yeah. And then it's like, you got that.
You've got that in your back pocket, right?
Oh, my pens are sliding off the desk.
They're either sliding off or sticking to, depending on how long the pens have been there. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is right. Yeah. I think you are, you know what? Obviously, sometimes we give a piece of advice. We get a piece of advice that is so good, it almost renders our entire podcast redundant. But just have fun with it, Ruth. This is it, isn't it? Yeah. Just have a bit of fun with it.
They don't know what they've got.
You don't know what you've got. You know, people go to Amsterdam and pay bored strangers to do this sort of stuff in front of them. You're getting it for freezies.
You're getting paid to be there while they're humping
on an office chair, spinning around the place. Oh boy.
Enjoy.
Once they know, you know, it's going to be boring as shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they get told off for doing it, you're going to regret it. If anything,
you've got to start working for them. You've got to help. You've got to become part of the lie. You've got to say, oh, those meals that you keep giving me, oh, thank you for those. And it's like, and then you slip them to him and it's like, near bother. And it's like, I don't know what you think, Scott. But it's like, you've got to embroil yourself in this.
Yeah. Are you doing multiple characters for this? Near bother.
Oh, I've just inflated an airbed in the stockroom for no reason at all. Anyway, I'm really tired. I'm just going to go and sit in my office chair for half an hour exactly.
Next time someone nearly rumbles them, you step up and cover for them and be like, oh, the house key, thank you for getting that, and then give it to him, and then it's like little nod and a wink, and then suddenly,
oh, that's my dildo in a baguette.
Suddenly you're booking Airbnbs for him at the weekend and stuff like that. You're a fixer, you're a mover and a shaker, your life's never gonna be more exciting.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, they're letting you watch. You're getting paid, and then you're just absolutely having it in the stock. Yeah, I mean, what a life!
What a life! You're sat in the corner on a pile of boxes. You've got a couple of fondant fancies on the go. Oh, this is the dream!
Absolutely loving life.
You've got a diller up your A. You've got a fondant fancy in your gob. You're having a great time of it. A
couple of fondant fancies on your chest.
You're fucking the holes in a ring binder.
Nubbins all over the shop.
Nubbins as far as the eye can see.
Nothing but nubbins. You've got to get involved, man. That's the advice.
Yeah, this is not a beef. This is not a beef. What's the opposite of a beef? This is
chicken.
You know, this is a chicken.
This is a chicken, and it's ripe for plucking. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ruth, do you want to do yours? Now, I will tell you now, it's from a similarly named, an identically named person, but not the same person.
Right.
Right, okay. Dear Pappies and Guest, that's me. I have a beef that you might be able to solve. My now wife and I are recently married and we couldn't be happier, apart from her forbidding me to ever call her my wife in the Borat voice, whether she can hear me or not. Please help me make her see sense. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Ethan. Now, I didn't attempt to do the voice. Can you guys each do your best my wife or...?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll give it a go. My wife.
It's good.
That's very good.
It is good.
Yeah. My wife.
Very good.
That's a good one from Clarkie.
My wife.
He's back on the Scottish voice. Let you bother my wife.
Near bother with me wife.
So, there we have it.
Go on, Ruth. We've laid ourselves on the line for you now. You've got to give us your my wife.
Okay, my wife. No, I'll do.
Very good, though.
It's like he was in the room. My wife. That's what I'd do.
It's good. I couldn't do it.
This is the thing. It's fun to do, and it's fun for the listener again. Not really getting. He's not allowed to call it her, whether she can hear him or not.
Yeah,
that's how offensive it is to her.
No, but I think what's crucial to this is the part of the tension of doing things like, this is my way, is that if your wife greenlights that and encourages that, then all the beauty of doing it is lost. That, like, the joy of doing that is it's going to piss her off, and that's the tension of that. If you're married someone and you go, this is my wife, and they go, you're so funny, then you've probably married the wrong person. Well, you probably married Isla Fisher. But, like, you've probably married the wrong person.
Because yeah, that's true.
What you want is to marry someone who's going to hit you and go, don't be a dickhead with that. Because then that's the tension of that kind of shit. You know, it's a bad joke. Yeah. And you want to be able to, you know, piss someone off with bad jokes.
Yeah, so I'm still laughing about it. I think still funny to me. But yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I would say either. I think you've got to step up. You've got to do it more.
You've got to step up. Step up to the streets.
Start doing Ali G as well.
The thing, Ali G's a good one.
Double,
as well, yeah.
Double
do
down.
Your booyaka shark.
Start calling her you, Julie.
Yeah.
Me, Julie.
I like you, Julie.
You, Julie. You, Julie.
Nay bother with you, Julie. The only thing about it, like, let's just sort of, let's for a second, because I'm with you, Tom, but just to play a bit of devil's advocate, you know, one of the things that sometimes happens in a marriage is a couple gets married and you discover something about that person that you didn't know prior to the marriage. And this is one of those things that it was impossible for her to discover before they got married, because he had no reason to say the phrase my wife. He didn't have a wife. So she's getting something here that she didn't marry into, right? That said, even as I'm saying that, I think it can't be the only twatty thing he does, right?
Yeah, if you're a my wifer, that's got to come with a laundry list.
Absolutely.
I mean, how often is he asking her to get in his belly? You know. May bother, by the way.
No bother for you to get in my belly, by the way.
Yeah. As somebody who likes to obviously sing around the house, do you have any catchphrases? You're a catchphrase fan.
Lovely jubbly and things like that I don't believe it. I do that quite a lot. I used to do impressions of Leonard Rossiter around the house, which one of my exes would just hate. I used to do it constantly.
Putting your hand very high on your hip. And,
I used to go, my God, my God. Like, he hated it. He's engaged.
Off putting during sex. Can you stop doing your Leonard Rossiter during sex, please?
If anything, that would get me right where it's pure. Well,
my damp is rising.
I saved my French police officer from a lower low for sex.
French fancies, that'd be right up my street. Good moaning. Good moaning, glory.
That's where you know it's good sex, if you hear good moaning.
Honestly, these pappies, you are like magic. You are the way that you just take a joke and just go, and it just works. It just works, guys. Honestly.
Oh, thanks very much.
The reviews are in.
Yeah,
it does.
We'll accept that.
Can you be on every time?
I love to.
Normally by this point, I guess, to start checking their phone.
I know. I can't because I'm recording us, but no, I'm loving every second. Yeah, it's magic. Yeah, good moaning. That's brilliant. I'm in awe.
You're like a live hype man.
Yeah, I've just taken a step out of the podcast just to say, guys, what you're doing is great. How many Patreons do you have? How many subscribers? You should have more. You should be on telly. I keep saying this. You should be on telly, etc., etc.
Thanks, Mum.
Well, we were on telly and telly decided we should be on podcasting.
Telly was very different back when Badults was on. It was a different time.
They wouldn't, you know, like you'll often get older comedians going, they wouldn't make that nowadays. And that is, that's true of Badults because they didn't want to make it back then.
You wouldn't make that then a days.
You wouldn't make that for a third series. But yeah, I love that. I think that's, I think, you know what, Ethan, what your wife needs to get is a few of her own catchphrases and throw them in. Like, for example, my wife loves to do, she loves to call me Rodders, you know, from Only Fools and Horses. She's never seen an episode of Only Fools and Horses. She doesn't really know. So, like, if I'm parking the car, she'll be like, easy Rodders, steady Rodders, like, almost more to put me off than to help me. But it always makes me laugh. I think it's brilliant, especially because I know that she's never seen what episode. She doesn't know who any of the characters. When I said who are the other characters in it, she doesn't know any of the other characters in it. She's never watched it. But she likes going for Rodders as well. I think this is what your wife needs. I think your wife needs to get, yeah, a bit of garlic bread in her life.
Also, you just married. I mean, I'd say at least you should have a literal honeymoon period. You should be allowed 6 months of it.
Yeah. Also, when it becomes the forbidden fruit, then you want it even more.
Are you talking about the last beef? We covered this in the last beef.
If she put up with it for a week, you'd get bored of saying it, no doubt. Do you ever get bored of saying it? Actually,
I don't know. My wife.
Stuff, I mean, it's really. I mean, it's she's in the film. Stuff. It's very funny. It is good stuff.
It's a funny character. It's a funny character. Can I hear? By the way, I know you said you do a Victor Meldrew. Can I hear your? I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I just say it like that, and I go. I love doing that. I say, oh, do you want to hear my Robert De Niro? And they go, yeah. And I went, are you talking to me? I have to go, did you say something? You know, just catch him out. I don't like to be too root one. Don't like to be too obvious.
No, you don't want to go too Bobby Davro on it, do you? You want to...
I didn't really know.
Oh, my God. That was Les Dennis. That was an absolute classic.
On your wedding day. Do you, Ruth Hoskinson, take blah blah to be your lawful wedded husband? Oh, I don't really know.
Perfect.
That's, all the classics.
Yeah, exactly.
And now pronounce your man and wife.
Believe it.
I'll tell you what needs to happen here. You talking about when it becomes the forbidden fruit, Clarky. What happens is... Sacha Baron Cohen needs to get cancelled badly so no one ever wants to use his catchphrases again in the way that... What, is he already cancelled?
No. Are you saying that's... Gone.
Is that the answer to the beef? Go out and cancel Sacha Baron Cohen.
Try and find a way.
I'm saying it's one approach for him to stop saying it, you know, because obviously you can't. I'm just saying it's one approach. Yeah. He needs to get cancelled in the way that, you know, we don't listen to certain songs that I might have been singing before. We don't listen to that artist anymore. Yeah, I won't.
Are you about to confess?
I won't name him. But yeah, so maybe we need to, or he or she needs to, orchestrate some sort of cancellation of Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, but hasn't written in.
She's not written in. That's it. She's probably not even listening to it. I can guarantee she's not listening to this. If she finds if she finds someone doing a My Wife impersonation and not particularly funny, she's going to hate this.
I'll tell you what. Just cut all that. Oh, it's live. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one to solve. I mean, I think the problem is it's a tricky one to solve because, Ethan, we're on your side, man.
Yeah,
I think you just go for it. And you know what? There is a sort of, you know, there's a certain amount of, like, you do it long enough, it stops being funny and it starts being funny again. You're like, so just play the long game.
Yeah, I'll say this. My wife's phone number's in.
Sorry. Who's
phone number? Come on, mate.
Sorry.
Come on, mate.
My wife's phone number is in my phone as wife. And
how are you spelling that? With like a bunch of I's?
No, it's just wife. W-I-F-E, but in capitals.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Because the novelty of having a wife and being able to say that's my wife calling is genuinely a thrill. But after 6 months, because now it's habit for me to see it and see wife, but it's not great that you go, like, it's not... I think somebody...
Oh, someone else clocks
someone
it.
And they saw yeah. it and they were like, oh, that's your wife's number, is it? And it's like, I don't know. We were having sex at the time. But, like, you know, but, like, there's something about being like, oh, yeah, she's Inna's wife. That's the wife. And it feels now, it feels less. Whereas at the time, it felt endearing and funny and excitable because it's like, oh, my God, I've got a wife. And it's amazing yeah. to call her wife. And now I feel slightly, I don't feel back foot about it, but so I definitely have had a couple of people be like that about it.
Maybe change it to ball and chain.
How would you feel, Tom, about yes. adding... I've got two solutions to that. You can maintain it as wife. You can add two things. You can either add, and I don't think you'll go for this, but I'm going to suggest it anyway, a Y at the end.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, no.
Not you're not me. Going for that. What about this then? The love heart, it,
what,
smiling
so
face
emoji. What,
so
you're going to say wife,
why? Question yeah, mark. Wife, why? Question mark, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people ask her that, actually.
Why is she calling? Yeah. Or the little love heart, smiley face emojis on either side. So then people see wife, but they see wife. You know, they see it as like a cutesy thing. What do you think about that? Are you happy with that, or are you just going to keep it as wife?
I mean, I don't know if the emoji thing, I don't think she'd be happy about that.
Right.
And I think rightly so.
I feel like I've really hit onto something that's, this has become deeper than I realised. I'm not going to pursue it any further because it's not that kind of podcast, but if you want to have a chat about it, man.
What, my wife doesn't drink. Like emojis? I mean, yeah. I definitely. I could go on for a while. It's such a shorthand way to communicate. What's wrong with them?
No, so your wife, just, no. What, you won't accept an emoji?
No, not a fan.
This is unbelievable.
Well, now you know.
It's funny with emojis, though, because I think I hated, like, my gut reaction when they first came around was to hate them.
Well, it was angry face, wasn't it?
As I say, it just works, guys. It just works. So witty, so clever, gorgeous, handsome, healthy boys. What can I say?
And then I started using them ironically, and now I'd really struggle to stop using them because I think they're great, actually. They've gone back to hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
And we're better for it.
I think they're brilliant. Just the amount of times I send the melting face or the salute.
Oh, mate, I don't have
so
it.
Good. You haven't got the melting face.
My iPhone stopped updating.
Tell your face.
I'm living it instead. My iPhone stopped updating when that update came around, and so I forever just have a little box with a question mark in the middle of it.
This sounds like two people who need to get themselves to the Genius Bar. You've got to get new iPhones, guys.
You just send people a game of Snake, don't you? If the snake's curled upwards, smile, then you're happy. Right, come on, let's get out of this beef, for God's sake.
Love of God.
I feel like we've done it. Ethan, you're in the right. Just keep at it, and we will see
beef
you in the divorce
solved.
Course.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Guys, are you excited about a world first?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
I never
Absolutely.
Thought I'd see the day.
You're seeing it, guys. You're seeing it.
First and last. I can only imagine.
Yeah. So, Ruth, we set up a hotline. Right.
I know. I listened to the David Earl podcast. Yes.
And I've been absolutely... No. I've been roundly criticised for this hotline. But you know what? I think this is going to work, right? I'm going to share sound with you now, right? Here we go. So, guys, this is the first ever, possibly the last ever, but the first ever. Right, here we go. This is the first ever hotline beef. And this is a bottle lid beef from Adam.
Hello, Pappy's lads and guest. I'm calling to lay my beef at your wise and wizened feet. My wife opens containers and then, rather than screwing the lid back onto the container in a secure fashion, she daintily places the lid on top, such that any unsuspecting person would think that the container is shut tight. Jars, bottles, you name it, she's done it all. This has the obvious outcome that the contents occasionally spill on me, the floor, soft furnishings, children, etc. The worst has probably got to be a baby bottle with day-old milk in it during the summer. Help me, beef brothers, please. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Adam. P.S. No, I will not talk to her about this like an adult.
Yeah, fair enough.
There right. we go. Can hey. I just there say, we go. Yeah.
I just I owe you a massive apology, Matthew, because that was fucking cool.
That was great.
Wasn't that cool, right?
That was really
fucking,
great.
That was fucking cool.
Oh.
Right?
You know what? Can I tell you now? I've got to talk to you before we solve Adam's beef. I've got to talk to you about the calls we've been getting.
Oh no!
we had somebody call up, and I'm genuinely worried. Someone call up at 2 a.m. saying, "I'm getting this weird pins and needles in my arm."
No,
and I don't want to go to the doctor about it, so I thought I'd call you instead.
You're having a stroke, beef solved.
And then 3 minutes later, called up and left the same message again, but as if they hadn't left it the first time.
No. Oh
my God.
Yeah. So if you are that person, we cannot help you. This is not the pins and needles thing.
You say it's been going on for months.
Go to a doctor. Let a doctor sort that out for you. That is not what this is for.
This is the risk you take when you call something a hotline, I think.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
But listen, that
What's
was
the
great,
number again? Is it 999?
It is. Listen, that's the problem. Like, I should never have.
8 9.
Is that when it all went down a couple of weeks ago?
We took a risk.
We really are the 7th emergency service. Yeah, it's 0208 123 3272. That's the number for the you can call.
Number.
And you know what? Listen, it doesn't have to be catchy. You just have to look. We'll come up with a jingle for it, I'm sure, at some point. All I'm saying is, right, that Adam was perfect there because it was short, it was to the point. He said his name in it. It wasn't about an ailment he's got.
Listen, dear, if you don't watch the videos when these go out, because you can get them in video form, no, Crosby had this kind of...
Tom, you can't get them in video form.
Oh. Does this not go out in video form?
No.
Is it not?
It's a podcast, Tom.
Why have I put my shirt on?
Why are we all in tuxedos? Come on.
Oh my God.
But yes, anyway,
for this.
for people who can't see the video that no one else can see, go on, Tom.
Crosby had a look of there was a fulfillment, the look in your eyes as it was coming together, the people listening to it playing out, about to respond to this man. I imagine it was the look that Michelangelo gave when he glanced up to his ceiling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like this.
This is my
just like
his
ceiling at home.
Yeah. And thought, I wish that was as good as the one I've just worked on for fucking years.
But I can't be arsed painting it now. It's a busman's holiday, isn't it?
I'm not going to paint my own. Fuck me.
If you went to Michelangelo's flat, you'd be like, oh, I bet his ceilings are amazing. You go up, you're like, oh, just brilliant white, just like everybody else has got.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
It's not even that brilliant white.
It's Artex.
Even his white.
It's Artex.
Yeah, and that I just think fair play.
Ye of little hotline.
Exactly. Thank you, Ruth. Yeah. So I know it's been a little bit of distance between hearing it and solving it, but can we all remember what it was?
No. Something about Michelangelo, I think.
That's the problem. Yeah, so Adam has a problem that his partner... Yeah. And the reason this especially resonates is because this is something that my wife and I have talked about. She's got the same thing. She's a big fan of the place on top. I don't understand how is it easy to do that and not give it a little twist?
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough stuff.
You live on your own, obviously. Are you a screwer on or are you a lever on top?
Ooh, probably a bit of both. But having been someone who's... I'm very clumsy. So having I mean, someone who's been stung in the past by a lever on top, I probably will always screw now. I've learnt from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Spilling things.
Yeah.
Here's the thing as well. I feel like, why is Adam... maybe because his partner just knows her system. She knows the system. She goes, well, I've left that on top. I'm not going to pick it up and shake it. I'm just going to pick it up, check the lid, put my finger over the top of it and shake it. She's probably just been so long a lever on top that she doesn't even understand the brain of a screwer on. She just doesn't think about it. And so that's the reason why she's never getting coated in Ribena. You know, that's the reason she's never getting a load of old baby milk all over her. That's the reason.
Has to get screwed on in the end, right? Do levers on can't live their life leaving on, right?
I think if, you know, like the milk, for example, there is an argument to say, why does it ever need to be screwed on? You're taking it off, you're pouring it, you're putting the lid back on, you're putting it in the fridge. You're taking it off, you're pouring it, you know, why do you ever need to screw it back on? You're not transporting it anywhere. It's standing up.
Doesn't it keep the milk fresh?
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure. I mean, you're speaking to a screwer on, Tom. You're leaning on an open door here, man. But
we'd have closed that door.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those psychopaths would come along and leave it open.
In the mind of a restaurant on top, you know, these aren't considerations.
Have you eaten at Restaurant Top, by the way? It's really delicious. Mm.
It's in the shard, isn't it?
The shard, yeah.
It just works.
I honestly can't get my head around this. I don't think I've ever been around the Restaurant Topper.
I can only hear Restaurant Top now.
Absolutely. Little face with the brains flying out the top of it for you, hasn't it?
It really has, Tom. Really has. I don't think I'll get hearts in my eyes ever again.
The first man to ever podcast entirely by emojis.
I tell you what, guys, if you could see the video right now, you'd love it. But unfortunately,
listen, you've got to get the video of this.
You've got to get the video of this.
Got to make the video of this.
You've got to sign up to the Patreon tier that offers you the video that does exist, right, guys?
Patreon tier where you get the video of
something else,
but yeah,
Predator 2. It's a weird tier, but basically if you
it's our most successful tier,
£6 a month, we'll send you a copy of Predator 2 on VHS.
Ruth, what is your suggestion? How are we going to solve this beef from Adam here? What are we going to do?
I'm guessing that she leaves it loose. As a reformed lever on topper, I think she's doing it because she's going, I'm just going to come back to that. I know I'm going to need to get the thing out again. I know I'm going to come back to it. So she's not really thinking of her husband. How can he solve this? He needs to let her learn from the mistake. He needs to let her spill it all over herself or spill it on the floor, like in the ways that I've learned. So he needs to, when she's used, like maybe fill it to the brim and put it back on top. Do you know what I mean? If he's going around screwing things on top and sealing things, that's not helpful. Do you know what I mean?
Fire.
You're saying embrace the chaos. Let it descend.
Leave everything on top.
I'm saying give her a bit of a taste of the old leaving on top. That's what I'm saying. Give her a bit of taste of her own sour milk and let her, you know, and yeah, he might have to live in chaos for a bit, but oh, goodness me, it'll pay dividends in the end.
It's beautiful.
It sounds like you should be on This Morning or something.
I was running out of things to say. I thought I'd better wrap this up.
You've got something in your ear going, in a second, we've got to go to the weather. So, yeah. And in 5, 4, 3, perfect.
I'll tell you what, Clark would be a great weatherman with his use of emojis, wouldn't he?
It really is going to be turd all over the north.
But happy.
A smiling turd all over Exmouth.
Do you think when emojis came in, weathermen were like, yeah, we've been doing this for years? It's kind of how weather people have been communicating for decades. Do you think that's kind of the appeal?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, the emoji didn't invent the picture. I mean,
disgust.
I mean, I don't think there's a need for a disgust. But yeah, I mean, if I know weathermen like I know weathermen, they get annoyed at the slightest thing. Honestly, they absolutely do. The slightest provocation, you know. I bet if you lived next door to a weatherman, you said, "Oh, nice day today," to them, they'd be like, "Sorry, what? Do you want my fucking job or something?" Yeah. You wouldn't be able to talk to him about it, would you? You wouldn't be able to say to a weatherman, yeah.
"John Fish kicks you right in the dick."
Who's John Fish?
John Fish, Michael Fish.
Oh, Michael Fish. Sorry, yeah. I was thinking John Wick.
John Fish is the neighbour on the other side. They don't like you either. You got a weatherman on this side, and on that side there's a guy called John Fish, and he kicks you in the dick every single morning. Your life's awful, actually. You should move.
It's bad.
Who is the serial killer? It's called Fish. Albert, was it Albert Fish? Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I think I had a confluence of Albert Fish and John Wick, and I was like, why are they kicking you in the dick? Albert Fish,
John Wick going on a killing spree because someone used emojis.
Was there one called John Ketley? Was it John Ketley?
John Ketley was a weatherman.
John
Ketley
is a weatherman.
There we go.
The Tribe of Toffs. What a great! I had that on a 7-inch single. Loved it.
It's great. Yeah,
really loved it.
And so is John Fish. You know how it goes.
But the problem, Ruth, to get back to your beautifully put forward point, is that if he leaves on top, right, and she chucks milk everywhere because she thinks, well, he doesn't normally leave on top, I can pick this milk up and, you know, wang it all over the place, that's his fault. It's not her fault. She's not learning the lesson. She's saying to him, why did you leave it on top? You can't then go, you always leave it on top, because she could then go, well, I did in this instance, I didn't, you did, and we're not talking about me, we're talking about you. You did it wrong. So I wonder if that is the you know, are you not creating twice the problem?
Do you think, for want of a better word, he's a hard screwer? Do you know what I mean? Do you know, there's some people, they screw things on just too much.
Yeah.
And that's a different kind of issue. And you think that maybe she's so exhausted by the time she's taken the lid off anything, she's like, I'm just going to rest that there for the time being, because I'm not going through that again.
Yeah. I'm not Jeff Capes. I can't be, you know, I'm not the world's strongest man. I can't be every time I want to just go and make myself a bit of cereal, trying to unscrew the lid off the milk. I can't be having that. Yeah, maybe Adam, get back in touch. Are you a hard screwer?
You know the hotline number. Get someone else to call the hotline.
Yeah, you know that. I don't mind if it's a different problem from Adam each week. 0208-123-3272. Adam, get back. It's the Adam line now. Get back in touch, Adam. Parry, what are your thoughts?
I'm struggling with this one. I'm thinking, get those jars that have the metal on them. Everything goes in one.
And kill the jars.
Yeah, there you go. The whole house, everything goes straight into those jars. And then you can see in those jars whether it's up or down. And you're not going to get this picking it up and it flying off. So you decant. You decant everything.
Ugh.
I know. It's more work.
I know. You know, I know.
Yeah, that's it. It's one of those. It's like, don't want it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an answer. It's a worthwhile answer.
Yeah.
But jeepers creepers, have we come to this? Kilners?
What about don't touch any liquids. Just only drink tap water and only get it out the tap in a cup, the amount you want to use. And just leave all other liquids to your partner. Everything else can be dealt with by them. Just go, look, I'm going on a liquid strike. I'm not going to die because I'm obviously still consuming water, but I'm not using anything else. That's it. I'm not opening anything else in the house. I'm only going to drink water from the tap and eat food I've grown in the garden. I'm gonna live in the garden in a bivouac that I've made for myself. I think
Crosby's got it here.
I thought you go full ape man and live in the back garden.
My you've got to go to bivouac first.
Adam was the first man. He lived in a garden, right? Adam, Adam lived in a garden. The first Adam lived in a garden. This Adam has got to do the same thing. Take off all your clothes, Adam, and go and live in the back garden and eat only. Let me tell you now, Adam. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge. Do not eat from that tree.
Yeah, keep everything listening else, to our podcast.
Everything.
That's why we're not available on Apple.
Oh, beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Ruth, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a total pleasure having you on.
It was a dream come true.
Has it been everything you hoped it would be?
Yes, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you?
Yeah,
where do you live?
They can find me on Twitter, Dank_Aykroyd is my handle, but my name on there is Ruth Husko. Bit confusing, but that's just the way it is. Can't change it now.
That's how we do it. Confusing titles. Yeah.
And on Instagram, Ruth_Husko, and Threads, the new Threads. Whoa. That have been. Yeah, that's right.
Threads. A great Threads. Threads.
I'm the most famous person on Threads, baby. So you want to get on it before I give up on it and just, you know, think, oh, Christ, it's another thing I've got to keep updating. So, yeah, and I'm sure I'll be on the telly soon enough as well.
Sure, of course you will. Of course you will. Stick with us and you won't be, but I'm sure if you make other friends, definitely.
I just want to say I love Pappy so much, and if you get the opportunity to see them live, you should, because it'll be the best evening you've had of your life ever since you saw Borat.
Let's go, you legend.
Oh, thanks so much.
Cheers, Ruth. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Pleasure.
From the sorting out your beef.
There you go.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
What a lovely episode.
Total
a
treat.
Lovely episode, yeah. And
although I do feel like we didn't solve many beefs, I feel like we agreed with a lot of them and then closed them.
You know what?
There was a lot of like, you're right there. Yeah. Beef closed.
I think there's something to be said for can't we all just get along, you know? Once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
But the hotline, crossbow, fair play, works a treat.
Happy to do it. Yeah. Really happy to
do it. I was ready to absolutely rip it to shreds.
Of course. And but, quite right too.
But I mean,
as you did with all those business cards we had printed with the hotline number on. We didn't get them up in any phone boxes.
So another message from the hotline. Hopefully you'll be able to hear this and enjoy it. Here we go.
Hello, puppies. I have got a beef, and my beef is with you because I think you're missing a trick with this hotline. I know jingles are a bit controversial on the podcast now, but I still remember the theme tune to the Answer Me This phone line, even after a long, long time. So to put it another way, if you want listeners to ring, have a number they can sing. All two always wanted 3-3-2-7-2. I'm sure someone else can do a better job of the actual jingle, but you get the gist. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Wow. I love that. What a nice thing to get. That's somebody really playing a little playing a little Sound of Music inspired jingle. So yeah, the number is 0208-123-3272. If you would like to record us a jingle reminding people of that number, we'll absolutely play it at the end of the episode. We'd love to hear some jingles from you guys. We'd love that. 0208-123-3272. I don't know who that person is because they didn't leave a name, but whoever you are, thank you so much. I adored getting that message.
Yeah, beautiful.
And you know what? You only
you adore getting any message, don't you?
Any message on the hotline. Any message on the hotline, I adore getting it. No, you only go and strengthen the power of the hotline. Thank you so much. Yeah. So 0208-123-3272. Get in touch. Don't forget the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flat Share, where you can hear an extra bonus beef recorded with Roof that is not in this episode. And yeah, I think that's everything else. Twitter, all that kind of stuff. We're there.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Corsham team. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.